Amen. Throughout eternity. If you can kneel, let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us with your presence on Sabbath day, for the changing of the showbread that's been going on 6,000 years. Thank you so much for this. Bless us with a new understanding in the Word and opportunities in the coming days to share what we learn today. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us, not only with forgiveness and salvation, but with perfect peace, knowing that we are going to make it home. The enemy has lied and the enemy has died. And so thank you, Father, for blessing this gathering, everyone here in attendance, everyone on the radio, the phone, and in the room here, and all those that will be listening to this throughout the week as we sleep around the world. And thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are in need of salvation, physical and spiritual healings. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen and amen. All right. We are on question number 19. And the question is, what will come upon us if we don't walk while we have the light? And this study is actually study number 32 of the baptismal studies, obviously, and of 33. And we have one more to go after this. And God willing, we will start a series in the studying the sanctuary, piece by piece, bolt by bolt, color by color, and nail by nail. And so what will come upon us? Oh, and by the way, the title of this study is When You Hear His Voice, and this is one of the reasons for this question. What will come upon us if we don't walk while we have the light? And John chapter 12, verse 35 is the answer. And thank you, Brother Gorin, for putting the verse in the room. And the answer is, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You know, this was very important back then, and has been important to do the last 2,000 years, obviously. But now that we are in the very last days, and 173 years since the 2,300-year prophecy of Daniel ended, that marked the actual start of the end of days, which means, like we were talking about this last night, doesn't matter how old you are, you can be the oldest person alive on this planet, and you are still someone who was born in the last days, because the last days started 173 years ago. So I've yet to meet anybody that's been able to live more than 125 or 6 or something like that lately. At least that's what the scuttlebutt is. I know it was, it used to be like 119, 120 was it, but now people have gone over that, but that's fine. But since the actual end has begun, and we literally are on borrowed time, if you think about it, Noah had 120 years to preach while he was building the ark. We've had 173. The only difference is we had multiple generations in that time to be able to do the work. Because as we all know, since the days of Noah, since the flood, mankind doesn't live as long as they used to live, because of the simple science behind what happened at the flood. When the great deep burst forth, it shot that 20 mile high jet of extremely high pressure water, because of the plates of the planet were resting on the water. Cause, you know, even to this day, we have the great deep. I mean, this is where well water comes from. And, but the, it just shot it out of the, planet at, high velocity. And it was extremely hot water, too, because of the friction involved in it coming out that fast. And the problem is the firmament that the Lord placed above the planet to give it that 70 degree atmosphere and double density atmosphere globally from every pole, you know, from the north to the south pole. It was the same temperature globally, which was like a nice, you know, spring day globally. But the water shot up 20 feet or 20 miles and the firmament was 10 miles up. So of course the firmament melted and it fell with the other water. One of the reasons for the flood. And so that all being said, and that's the reason why we don't live as long, because science has proven that when you have a double density atmosphere, aging, you know, the aging process of everything from animals to humans is going to drastically slow down, because the corpuscles in the body, the red and white corpuscles will be shaped like footballs instead of the basketballs they're shaped like now. And that's why you age quicker and you get wrinkles quicker, because when you get to a certain age, your little capillaries start shrinking and the little basketballs can't get in there anymore. But the little footballs could. And so you would live almost 1,000 years back then. Now, it's all you can do to get to 100. So we have very little time to waste. This is my point. And every moment must be well thought out. As we know, they have all the tools right now needed to enforce Sunday laws that we have been expecting to do for decades. And I don't know if y'all heard this, but now this isn't the mark, of course, but the acceptance of the idea is generated with talking points like this. But Trump, well, actually, I think the governor of Texas did it first, and then Trump agreed with it and made a national day, an official national day of prayer for this Sunday. And just pushing the Sunday Sabbath the way they do, you know, it causes, it lowers the resistance on the people that are, you know, not in agreement with it, if you will. No sound? Okay. Room crashed. Hold on, for those of you listening on the recording. Yeah, the room crashed. And the mic is back on. Okay. Yeah, it looks like it was just an internet thing. But yeah, Brother Dwayne, you're correct. Every Sabbath we've been getting attacked. But praise God this time, it's not a mic issue. Even though you all probably thought it wasn't. I'm thinking, because my wife comes in the room and says, there's no sound. I'm thinking, what are you kidding? It's a brand new mic. We were just praising God about it last night. But yeah. Because I'm done with USB microphones. They, you know, they, the amount of bandwidth that you need over a USB cable to run a microphone causes issues. Yeah, I know about that one, Joe. And that's just a monitor on my end. Okay? Because it's kind of similar to my my middle name. That's why I use that. So, but yeah, that's a firewall IP address. That's not even a real IP address. Isn't that neat how that works? I love this firewall, although I don't like it at times either, because it does. Yeah, amen, good idea. Thank you, brother. And but it looks like that one came back in too, so everybody's back in now, I think, and so we can pick up where we left off. Yeah, because I figure we give it a minute or two for everybody to come back in now. It might happen again, because we know this doesn't seem to end with us, and it only happens when we're gathering for church. How about that? On Sabbath day. And so it's pretty obvious. And just so you know, for those of you that are listening, I just checked again this morning. My subscriber base is still going down on YouTube. Although I did upload a 1 minute video to Vimeo just to test things to see if it would work. And, a few people that put me on their pages, and they've got tens of thousands of subs. And so maybe we'll get some activity there. If not, please keep it in prayer. Like I've been saying, we need to get our own video software. We have the servers to do it now, and we have a couple extra funds to where if we got to beef up these servers to be able to handle it and increase the bandwidth, we can do it now. So, but we got to find a way to be able to, you know, the proper operating system. If you, that's why I've already built a different server with a different operating system, and I'm not going to say what it is on the radio. So anyway, where do we leave off here? The thing about the Sunday laws and Trump, and that's right when I mentioned the word Trump. he started that National Day of Prayer. Well, he didn't start it. The governor of Texas came up with the idea because of the hurricane. And then, he went ahead and I think went national with it. And so, but that's okay. Keeping the people thinking that it's the norm that Sunday is a Christian Sabbath for some odd reason. When in fact, we know it's not. But we've been expecting this for decades, and they're doing this now, and this is it actually vindicates us, and it makes the Christian prophecy that much more powerful if you think about it, because of the way they're doing exactly what we said they would. And it doesn't mean any of us are prophets. It means that we're just telling them exactly what it says in the Bible. Now, they may think you're a prophet when you do that stuff because of the things that happen, and happen the exact same way the Bible says they will, but it doesn't matter what they think. All that matters is the truth is proclaimed, Jesus is glorified, and souls are saved. And so, but don't let it get to your head if they start looking at you with awe. No, they shouldn't do that, of course, and you just have to correct them if they do that, because you did not write the Bible, okay? You just echoed it. So, but still, if we put our Bibles down and skip reading it one day, because this is like, if you look at, what was the question of what will come of us if we don't walk while we have the light? So the best way I can understand that or describe it is by putting down the Bibles and skip reading it one day, which then will eventually stretch into not reading it for 2 days, which becomes 3 days. And before you know it, you haven't been in the light of the word for weeks or even months. And now the darkness is upon you in ways that you can't even understand because you don't even realize it. See, that's why I always ask one of the first questions I ask a Christian when they're having intense trials and situations going on in their life, the first thing I say, when was the last time you read your Bible? He's just trying to get you back into the word because he wants to talk to you because he wrote the word. And the word became flesh. And that's Jesus Christ. And so when you read his word, you get a better understanding of who he is and what his love is all about. I was watching this morning where somebody was talking to somebody. They were slamming someone that was saying something to the effect that because Christians – oh, yeah, that's what it was. It was those Westboro types. And the Westboro types, they go a little bit overboard with the way they claim to show the love of Jesus. Well, we love you enough to tell you the truth, which is true. A lot of people don't get that. But the devil's very ingenious on this one, if you think about it. We love the people enough to tell them the truth. And so what the devil does is he gets people that use name-calling and hatred and the people that say, thank God for dead soldiers and thank God for 9/11 and thank God for Katrina and all this other stuff and just putting it in people's faces, showing no compassion whatsoever. And then they say, well, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Because Satan knows that's the banner we hold up. We have enough love to tell the people the truth, but we don't do it in those ways. But the minute we share truth, it has become so associated with hatred now that, yeah, it's going to make that our job that much more difficult. So, but if you stay out of the Bible, you can't see this stuff if you're not staying in the Word on a daily basis. And so the darkness can come upon you, and it can get so thick you cannot even see the danger that you're in. And so you embrace your old life, and you become the one Jesus spoke of that backslid and went back into the world for forsaking his gift, only to be destroyed in hellfire. Because every one of us has these talents that he gives. Every one of us has the gift of salvation, if we accept it, of course. A lot of people just don't plain accept it. And then there's people that do accept it and then choose to walk away from it. Like, they accept it, and then let's say they become a Baptist and they think, well, now I'm guaranteed heaven and they can do whatever they want. They go back to their old life and they're sinning and doing all the things they did before they met Jesus. They're the ones that are going to be weeping when the weeping and gnashing of teeth happens, because they literally thought it was okay to do that as a Christian. They didn't allow the Holy Spirit to fine tune their walk in any way. They just figured, well, I'm guaranteed heaven, so I'm just going to party hardy till Jesus gets here. But that kind of garbage isn't allowed in heaven. So why wouldn't you gotta get ready? It's just, if you notice this too, it's similar to the way the remnant people and our number have been moved by the Holy Spirit to change your diet. I mean, not only does it make you live longer, clear up your mind better, and prevent disease on every aspect, it gets you ready for the heavenly diet, because there ain't going to be any pork chops and bacon up there. I mean, there's not even going to be any meat eating, as a matter of fact. And so we're just getting ready for it. But a lot are going to be weeping and gnashing their teeth. Jesus said this. He said this in Matthew 22, verses 13 and 14, that he will bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. It's amazing. I mean, as we also know, many called Jesus Lord, Lord in that parable he shared long ago. And that means they knew him as Lord at one time. But now, because the light on their path went out due to a lack of Bible study and prayer, they no longer knew him truly as Lord. And so as Jesus also said through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 29:13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. You know, Catholicism is a good example. The precept of men. They think they're Christians, but they're really, really, really far from Jesus. But they don't know that. They think they're really, really close to Jesus because they're genuflecting, making the sign of the cross and wearing medals on their body. Or like any other denomination, they all got their strange ways. So that's what happens when you stop reading Bibles. Jesus is only your Lord by lip service. And you only fear him in the way he is described by the wolves you think are pastors. You know, this is why so many people hate Jesus Christ. I mean, they think he and his father are tyrants, chomping at the bit, just waiting for the chance to burn people in hellfire, and just can't wait till you step off the path and then boom, a train comes and blows you into oblivion or into eternity or hellfire. But that is how you describe Satan. That's not how you describe a heavenly father, a tender, loving father. As a matter of fact, this morning when I woke up, he gave me a sermon, not for next week, that one's already done. He gave me a sermon for, I think, 3 weeks from now, because I'm going to let Pastor Craig do part two. Well, I'm not going to let, I mean, the Holy Spirit is moving to say, okay, Pastor Craig did part one of The Path to Change. Then the Lord moved me to share that sermon last week. And then Pastor Craig's going to do part two of The Path to Change today. And then the Lord gave me a sermon for next week. And then part three of Path Two will be after that. And then the Lord gave me a sermon this morning. And the sermon this morning is just about, I might just start at the top of a pile of Bible verses and work my way down. And that's the sermon. I'm just going to show the verses about how he literally is in your life on a day by day basis, how he really is a father. So again, with all this hatred and anger and thank God for 9/11 with the Westboro Baptist types, that's not God. That's Satan. That's how you describe Satan. Not a loving God who sent his only begotten son to be tortured and killed so you don't have to go to hell. I mean, that's just idiotic when people think about that. And that's why I shared the sermon I did last week about how so many people, they commit sin like we all do. That's why 1 John 1:9 is there. You confess you repent and confess, and Jesus forgives you of all your sins and then literally puts them in the sea of forgetfulness like you've never done it before. It's like you're walking in the cool of the day like Adam did with Jesus in the Garden of Eden. The minute you confess and repent, your sins are forgiven. So quit beating yourself up and thinking that you're, going to hell in a handbasket. You can't be used by God in any way, shape, or form. That's what the devil wants you to think. And that's more or less what the sermon was about last week. The minute you repent, you are cleansed. Now, if you have to get a spanking because of the sin you did, fine. Let your father do what he wants to do. That's fine. That's as long as you still make it home to heaven, that's great. You know, but I'm getting back to work. I'm going to do the, share my faith or walk in perfect peace. And it's just amazing. I think that's one of the reasons for this sermon series that Craig and I are doing. It's just the way he's getting us ready for what's really headed our way. it's going to get, because there's no doubt in my mind why all of us are being attacked the way we're being attacked. I mean, look at what just happened here a minute ago with, the internet going down in the middle of a study. And then the last few weeks with the mic issues, and we're always being attacked on a regular basis, and they're censoring us online, and now they're removing the subscribers from all the videos we make. And I'm not the only one that's, having to deal with that issue. But because most people stop reading their Bibles, to them it's no big deal what we're going through. And the light of the truth is completely gone for even the Christians that stop reading the Bibles. And all they know about Jesus is what the wolves are moved by Satan to share with them on their bogus pulpits. So as I've said literally for decades, read your Bibles and pray every day so as to keep the path before you well lit, so as to see the puny little darts that Satan tosses from the edge of that path. And you can see them coming easily, so you can avoid them. Okay, let's go to question number 20. So when we hear his voice, what must we not do? The answer is Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, which is, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Because they did a lot of heart hardening back then, I mean, look at all the signs that they had that Jesus Christ was very, very active. I mean, he got them out of Egypt. He's getting them through a desert for 40 years where even their sandals don't wear out. He's feeding them on a daily basis with the manna. I mean, and before they even got to the desert, the Red Sea splits. You got this tornado of light at night and tornado of smoke in the day. Just guiding them day by day by day by day, but yet they harden their hearts when they don't get the water they want, the day they want it, or they don't get the food they wanted, even before the manna started falling, when he gave them the quail and all that stuff. And, of course, he gave them what they wanted, and it came out their noses. They got so sick. Now, there are a lot of ways to hear the Father's voice. Some of us have heard that still small voice while fully awake. Some of us have heard his voice in vision upon our beds. Some of us have heard it from a Christian friend sharing his truth with us, or even a preacher sharing the truth in a sermon or a study. But all of us have heard his voice in his written word. For it is written in Psalm 103:20, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, and hearkeneth unto the voice of his word. And that word became flesh. Because his word was always, before we were even created, if you will. The word was up there in heaven walking around. I mean, his name is Jesus, of course, today. But, I mean, now think about this. And if the angels, who, by the way, kept the Ten Commandments long before a Jew was ever born, or even Adam and Eve were brought to life. So that kind of puts to rest all that idiocy that says that only the Jews are supposed to keep the Ten Commandments. But these angels have heard his voice via his written word. Now, yes, I understand the actual word of God was not yet penned for all mankind while the angels heard it in heaven, because it's just his word. I mean, it's like, I have given you my word. Well, Christ has given him his word. It's kind of like more or less the same way of saying it. But seeing how we're not standing in New Jerusalem right now, we really have no idea on how they heard his voice in his word. All we know is they did hear his voice, because that's what the word that we read says. And yes, we also know it says in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But that doesn't take away from the reality that his angels heard his voice, and as scripture declares, that voice was Christ's. And to this day, his word is his voice unto his obedient bride. And this is why it is so, so very important to stay in the Bible. Especially if you're just starting out, or you just, because I remember when I left, well, this is even before I left the Catholic Church, I was trying to figure out why all those Baptists kept telling me I was going to hell. And I got sick of hearing it. But it was those little, specks of truth they were throwing at me were hitting their mark. It was making me think, I wonder if they're right. And so I figured, well, the only way I'm going to figure out if they're right or wrong, well, actually, my first reasoning for opening up the Bible was to shut them up because I knew how to read. And so I was just going to open up a Bible and, you know, go at it and put those Baptists in their place, right? That's what I thought. Well, as we all know, because I've heard this many times, I eventually found out they were correct to the point I joined their church. We left the Catholic Church and we just went hopping around until we found another church that believed like we did. And we always seemed to end up in the Baptist churches because they always had the Bibles in their hands. And they're the ones that, you know, literally lit the torch of truth upon us. And so we went for it. But the thing is, I've never experienced this, but I have seen it happen in other people's lives, and this is why it's so important, is I've never missed a day, even with family emergencies. I've never missed a day of reading the Word. Now, I may have missed my normal timing of reading in the morning because of an emergency, but before the day ends, yeah, I'm in it. And so I don't know what it's like to just walk away from it and have all these problems hit because he's trying to get you back into the Word because he misses you. He wants to keep talking to you. But as a babe in Christ back then, I knew it was very difficult to understand this Bible for me. And so I kept asking him to explain it to me. And the only thing I was getting, which I'll relate to the young in Christ that may have just started opening up the Bible, you know, and hopefully it's a King James because that's the only one that matches up the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's the only one the Lord protected when the two witnesses were killed. And it's the only one that, literally has not been altered by the Vatican outside, of course, the punctuation. When they put the punctuation in there, they put that in long after it was, penned. But you still have this, it's still got the old English, the these and the thous and stuff. And so it can be a little difficult to read at times. And sometimes the way they talked back then, it was like the point of the sentence ended up at the end instead of the beginning. Kind of like the way some of the Spanish people, the way their sentences run. And so I was just asking them to please share it with me. And all I got from the Lord was read it slowly and don't go to the next verse until you understand the verse you're on. Now that's slow going. But that doesn't matter with him, and it shouldn't matter with you either. Because right off, the babe in Christ has got more understanding of truth than a theologian that claims to be a doctor of divinity. Because it's fresh. It's in your heart. And so stay in the Word, even if you only understand one verse a day. And I'm not saying only read one verse a day, of course, but read as much as you can every day. But when you get to the hard verses, slow down. Go back and read the, you know, two or three verses ahead of it to try to figure out what's being said. Or if it's the beginning of a new topic, read that verse and then read the verses under it. Cause you might be hanging, you know, like for a couple, 3 days on that one verse, not realizing it's explained in the following verse. And so, yeah, read down too. And then maybe you'll go, oh, okay, fine. Then that's what it means. And there are, you know, brethren that can help you there. This is one of the reasons my email pile is so huge. And as well as some of you, how you help each other. I'm sure you get a lot of emails as well where people ask you, what does this verse mean? What does that verse mean? This is what we're here for. This iron sharpeneth iron. We're here to help each other. So if you come across a Bible verse you're having a hard time with, send me an email. And I apologize. Sometimes it could take me a couple, 3 weeks to get back to you. But I like when you send the emails for the Bible verses because it makes for the next Q&A sermon. Because it's a wonderful thing to have questions answered in sermons. So, amen. Proverbs 27 verse 17. Iron is sharper than iron, so a man sharper the countenance of his friend. And so that's one of the reasons you have, you know, how can two walk together except they be agreed, as the prophet Amos said, because iron certainly can't sharpen butter. You know, they have to be of the same metal, if you will. And metal is also a way to describe someone's character. And seriously, that's how they would, that word was used a lot in the 1800s and the early 1900s. But anyway, please, you know, and I'm talking mostly, well, actually to everybody, myself included, we have to stay in the Bible on a daily basis because what's about to start happening is going to I mean, we've already been living through what we've been seeing recently in regards to, you know, the end times, and they're getting ready for the mark of the beast. Absolutely everything's in place now for them to enforce it. All's waiting on now is for Antichrist to stand up and say, okay, I figured out how to stop all these problems that you guys are having in all your countries with all your riots and your calamities and this and that and all that. And all, you know, so, you know why you guys are having this problem? And he's acting like he's Jesus. He says, because you're not listening to me. You're supposed to be keeping Sunday holy. And until you get that through your thick skull, we're going to prevent you from buying and selling anything. And that'll go on for who knows how long. There is no prophetic utterance as to the time span that happens. And we know how with economic sanctions, how our government does that to other nations. That could go on for decades for all we know, but it'll weed out the weak Christians who finally get to a point and says, you know, I'm tired of, you know, eating weeds in the backyard, or I'm tired of living in the woods because I can't pay rent because I have to keep Sabbath, and I keep the law. I'm not going to acknowledge, because it's the mark of the beast, you know, because the Vatican even admitted it in writing. And so it'll weed out the weak ones. And then when it gets down to it, where the strong, or the Gideon band, if you will, are standing firm, then the death sentence is put forth, because most of the people have already caved. And then the plagues will begin. And so, we, you know, we're on that. We're on the precipice now. The next thing to happen is for Satan to show up and act like he's Jesus. So, hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.